Okay, let's pick up from the Gemara Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis. We're about 7 lines down where it says Ibayaluhu. Ibayaluhu Schar L'Stam Yenan Mahu. What's the halacha if the guy hired a Jew to work with Stam Yenan? So remember the Mishnah we had said, the Mishnah Samach Beis Amud Aleph was discussing if a non-Jew hires a Jew to schlep barrels containing Yain Netzach, to do work that involves Yain Netzach. So we said in that case, the schar that the Jew received for that labor would be usher. And we went through in the Gemara trying to figure out why exactly the schar should be usher, what the payment should be usher. And so we went through that. Now the Gemara wants to know, okay, so maybe that's for Yain Netzach proper. But what about if for working with Stamian? It's not Yain Netzach, it's a Yain of a guy, and we know that we're a gozer not to drink that wine, and we treat it like Yain Netzach, but what's the halacha? What's the halacha with the schar that the Jew received for schlepping around Yain Stamian? So, Ibai Lehu Scharo, L'Stamian, Ma, what would be the halacha? Mi Armin Akivin Di Isura, Chamer Kedi Yain Netzach, do you say that since Chazal said that the Isser of Stam Yenan is just like the Isser of Stam of Yain Netzach. In other words, we know that Stam Yenan would be Usser Bahana, so therefore it's Usser Bahana just like Yain Netzach, so therefore so Schar Nami Usser, so therefore the Schar that he would receive would also be a problem. Odilma, Hova Tumaso Kill, Af Schar Nami Kill, or maybe since its Tuma is more lax, so too its Schar is more lax. In other words, we talked about this earlier on in the Masechta and Daf Lamed, where the Gemara taught us that Chazar Gozer Tuma, we know that Yain Netzach is Tame, halachically speaking, so we know that Chazar Gozer Tuma and Stam Yenan as well. However, the nature of this Tuma, the Chazar Gozer, just like we talked about for Avodah Zarah, we know that Avodah Zarah is Ashmana, Chazar Gozer a Tuma and Avodah Zarah to keep people away from it. So similarly, Chazar Gozer a Tuma on the Yain of the Kochavim. So we know that the rules of Yain, of Tuma for the Yain of Avodah Zarah is different for Stam Yenan as opposed to for Yain Netzach. For Yain Netzach, we know that the Tuma is, we said the Tuma is Chamura Bikazayis, as opposed to Stam Yenan, we said it's Ashrana, but it's been Tame Bitumas Mashkin Berevius. So it takes a little bit more in order for it to be Matam. There's a sichsach there between Rashi and Tosfos, how exactly this Tumah operates. But either way, the Tumah that applies to Stam Yenan is much more lenient than the Tumah that applies to Yain Netzach. So maybe therefore, if you see that they operate differently with respect to Tumah, so they should operate differently with respect to the Schar. So if Chazal were not gozer, the level of stringency on the Tumah of Stam Yenan, so maybe Chazal were not gozer with the same level of stringency when it comes to the schar that a person would receive for handling, for schlepping around Stam Yenan. So that's the question on the table right now. So it says the Gemara Tashma. So take a look at the following. Dahu Gara, the Agar Arve, the Stam Yenan. There was a certain fellow who rented out his boat to be used for transporting Stam Yenan. Yavule Chiti Ba'agra, and the Gayim who rented the boat from this Jewish fellow gave him wheat as payment. Also the Kamei Rav Chizda, so the fellow came before Rav Chizda, Amalei, and Rav Chizda said to him, Zil, go, Kalinu, burn the wheat that they just used as payment, Vikavrinu, and bury them, and the way that it's changed over here based on the Gilead is Bei Kivri. Go bury them in a Beis HaKvaras, in a cemetery. So, what do you see? You see that the payment that the Jew received for renting out his boat, and the boat was to be used for Stam Yenan, so that payment was a problem. So it seems to be that we treat Stam Yenan just like Yain Netzach proper with respect to the schar that a person would receive. So v'lemalei bidrinu. So parenthetically, the Gemara says, wait a second. Why does Rav Chizda tell him that he should burn them and then bury them in the Beis HaKvaras? Why doesn't he tell him bidrinu, scatter them? Why does he have to burn them and then bury them? So why can't he just tell him scatter them? Well, we don't want him to do that because then a takala might happen. There's some bad calamity that might come out. In other words, if a person just scatters the wheat, which are imbued with Isser, maybe someone else will come along and collect them and eat them for breakfast the next day. The Liklin of Elidrin. So Gemara says, okay, fine. So then why doesn't he burn them and then scatter them? Why does it have to be that he burns them and then buries them? So Dilma Mazavlu Buhu. Because no, if you burn them and then scatter them, maybe they'll serve as fertilizer, and that would be a problem. So the Gemara says, okay, well, why do you have to burn them at all? just bury them straight away as they are. Milo Tanan, after all, do we not learn in the Mishnah, or some at the base of the Gilead, it's Milo Tanya, do we not learn in the Braisa? Echad Evan Sheniskaba, whether we're dealing with the stone that was used for performing skila, the Echad Eitz Shenitla Alav, or whether we're dealing with the wood, the post, the wooden post that was used for hanging up the corpse after administering Mises Bestin, the Echad Saif Shenaharagbar, whether we're dealing with the sword that was used to administer Mises Bestin, the Echad Sudar Shenechnakbar, or whether we're dealing with the cloth that was used to perform chenek, perform choking the person for Mises Bezdin, kulam nikbar mimo, all of these things that are used to accomplish Mises Bezdin have to be buried with the person who received the capital punishment in Bezdin. What do you see from here? Now, what Rashi explains is that they're buried with him. We have a special even from the Pasuk that the things that are used as part of the process, certainly the things that the body is hung up on after performing the Misa, or the other various accoutrements. So those things are all Asr Bahana, and that's why they have to be, we bury them with him. So wait a second though, why is there no concern? Maybe you should have to incinerate them and then burn them. Clearly there's no problem. We're not concerned that if you bury them as they are, that anything is going to happen, that someone might discover the wooden post or the rock or whatever it is that was used as part of the Mises Bezdin. So why over here as well? Can't you say that you take the wheat and instead of burning it, just bury it straight in the ground? So says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Hasam, over there in that discussion regarding the items that are used for performing Mrs. Bezin, the kakavri bebedina. Over there, where are they burying the items? They're burying them in the base hakvaris of Bezdin. So it's very clear that even if a person does chance upon the stone or the post that was used as part of the Mises Bezin process, they're going to realize that that was part of the that was used for Mises Bezin, and they're going to keep away from it. Hacha, but over here, lo mochacha milsa. Over here, when we're dealing with burning this wheat, you're not burying the wheat in base hakvaris of Haruge Bezdin. You're burying in a random base hakvaris. So if a person happens upon them, they might use it. So Inish Ganav, he'll think that maybe a person just stole it. And he buried it over here. That's what happened. And so if a person finds that wheat, he'll use it and he'll eat it for breakfast next day. And therefore, there is concern. Okay. Either way, remember the question over here was, what about the wages that a person receives for schlepping stam yinim, or for something involving stam yinim? What's the halacha? Is it considered like yain nesach, and therefore the schar is usher or not? So we attempted to bring a raya from this story where there's a person who rented out his boat to be used for stam yinim. He was paid the rental fee with wheat, and Rav Chisda told him that he would have to burn it and bury it in the basic forest to make sure that no one got enough from it. Okay. Devei Rav Yanai Yasvi Peri Shavias Me'anim. So the people in Rav Yanai's house would borrow Peri Shavias Me'anim from the poor, V'upara Lahu Bashminas, and pay them back in the Aether. Meaning to say like this. We know that when Shemitah comes, all the fruit is hefker, all the people's produce is hefker. So if you have a neim who went around collecting the peri shvias, but they wanted to be able to make some profit in some way, so there's a little bit of a shtick the people of Rav Yanai's house were trying to help them out to make it that they didn't just collect all of this fruit for nothing, that it would all go to waste. So it was approaching the Zman Bir. We know that the Peres Shvias have to be consumed before they are finished being used up in the fields, right before they stop growing and the animals outside are eating them. So what they would do is they would quote-unquote borrow Peres Shvias. In other words, they would ask the Aniyim to give them the Peres Shvias, and then they would pay for them, not in the year of Peres Shvias, but the next year. They would not pay for them in the Shemitah year, they would pay for them in the eighth year, the year after Shemitah. So now, wait a second, though. What that means, then, is that they are essentially paying for Peir Shvias in the eighth year, and presumably, then, that means that money is being used in exchange for Peir Shvias. As we talked before, we know that there's Chalipe, so the money that's used to exchange Peir Shvias, in other words, a person goes to the store, buys Peir Shvias, it gives money to the owner, selling the merchant these peros, those monies become imbued with kedusha, and those monies as well have to be used up before shvius is up. So the question is as follows: They would borrow perishvias. In other words, they would buy on credit the perishvias from these anim, and then they'd pay for them in the eighth year. Now, Asu, Armelu and Rav Yana, they came and they told this to Rav Yana, to Rav Yochanan. Armelu and Rav Yochanan said, Yazin Avdin, so great, that's fine. When Rav Yochanan heard about that, that's what was going on, he said, no, that's perfectly fine what they're doing. Why? Because there's no real exchange over here, right? They're, on the one hand, they're receiving the pears, they eat up all the pears, then next year, a full year later, they're paying for them, there's no exchange. It's not an exchange. An exchange would be, I give you the pears, you give me the money. So there's a clear exchange going on. But this is not an exchange. That's not what's going on. And therefore, there's no Kedusha Shvias that's taking hold on the money that's being paid a year later.
That's perfectly fine what they're doing. And a parallel case, when it comes to an esnan, would also be permitted. Now, we talked about an esnan in the past. An esnan is the item that's used as payment for the services of a zona. So now that item that's used as payment for the services, let's say a fellow pays for the zona's services in the form of a sheep. And she wants to use that sheep as a carbon. Can she bring it as a carbon? So an essence on it cannot be used as a carbon. It's also the gavoa. Now, is it also the idea? No, not necessarily. But it's definitely also the gavoa. Now, the question is, though, what is the nature of the transaction between this fellow who's seeking the services of the zona? So Rav Yochanan says, in a parallel case of esnan, would be permitted. Meaning to say, the town, as we learn in a braisa, nasan la velo bala, if the fellow gave her, let's say, a sheep, as payment for her services, but he did not actually end up doing a maisa bia with her, or bala, let's say he did a maisa bia with this girl, velo nasan la, but he did not give her payment as for the services, esnana mutter, the esnan would be permitted. Now, wait a second. Let's do some cleanup work before we analyze this properly. Nasan la velo bala. The first case of the braisa is that if he gave her the sheep, let's say, as payment for her services, and he didn't end up doing a maisa bia, so the braisa is telling you, well, the esnan is mutter. Well, pshita, that's obvious. Keep it to lo bala. If he didn't actually do a maisa bia, matana b'amuhu diavla. He was just giving her a gift, essentially. So then why would you think, what's the havmina, that there would be a problem here? Of course the esnan is mutter. It's not an esnan. He didn't actually get services. Visu, and furthermore, remember the second case was Bala, if he did a Maisa Bia, Velo Nasan, that he didn't give her anything, well then, you're telling me the Esna is much, there was no Esna, he didn't give her anything. Halo Yavla, Velo Midi, he didn't give her anything. Vekim Velo Nasan La, and if he didn't give her anything, my Esna na Mutter, what does it mean that her Esna is Mutter? So let's clean up what the text of the Braisa must be. So Ela HaKamer, here's clearly what's going on in the Braisa. Nasan La Ve'achar Kach Bala, the case is if he gave to her, and then he was bowl her, oh, bala v'akrach nasanla, or first he did a maisa bia with her, and then he paid for her services, esnana mutter. So again, if he gives her the payment for the services way in advance of the maisa bia, and then he's bowl her, so, or if he does the maisa bia with her, and then later he gives her payment for the services, then the esnana is mutter. So now, that's what the case is. Now let's try to figure out what Rav Yochanan is drawing from this case over here. So presumably Rav Yochanan is trying to say, good. So you see that if there's not an exact exchange of goods, so to speak, that he gives her X, she gives him Y, and there's an exchange of those two things, so then it does not become imbued with Isser, and the Esen is Motel Gavot. That seems to be his point. But let's go through the case. You're telling me that if he gave her the Esnan, and then afterwards he did my Sabia, L'chiba Aleha, Leichel Allah is her esnan. I'm afraid I don't get it. Then when he did the ma'isa bia, then that should have retroactively kicked in the status of iser on the esnan. So what are you telling me? That if he gives her the sheep, let's say, and then a little while later, he ends up doing a ma'isa bia with her. So why isn't it that once they do the ma'isa bia, that item should become imbued with iser l'mafreya retroactively? That was part of what the stipulation was, right? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kishakanma Vikrivas. I'll tell you why it doesn't become imbued with Isser. It doesn't become imbued with Isser because before he had a chance to do a Maisa Bia with her, she went ahead and offered it as a karban. That's why. So you're right. In theory, retroactively, it would have been Chal. The Isser would have kicked in. But in this case, that's not what happened. So, okay.
Now, wait a second. Hechidami. Let's do the math in this case. Let's see if that actually seems to make sense. How would this play out? Ida amar la kini lach me'achshav. You're telling me right now. He gives her the payment for the services, and then, let's say, a few weeks later, he actually gets around to having the ma'asabia with her, but by that time already, she's used the animal to bring it as a carbon. But she hadn't given the services yet. Hechidami. Ida amar la kini lach me'achshav. If he told her when he gave her the sheep, I want you to be kona this from now, she did the shari. So then what's the chiddush of the braisa? They tell me that it's the esnan is mutter. Of course it's mutter. It was a regular matana, the hal leisa b'shas bia. It was not around at the time of the bia. Umatana ba'amuhud yavla, and he was just giving her a gift. So it's not an esnan at all. So what's the chiddush? V'idelo amr la kinulach ma'achshavin, and if he didn't tell her when he gave her the esnan, I want you to be kona this from now. So hechi matzi mekarva, then how could she possibly have to offer this successfully as a karban? The pasuk says, "Ve'ishki yaktish es beis hakodesh." A person when he's maktish his house. So what do we learn from this pasuk? Amar Rachmana, ma beis bershuso avko bershuso. That the same way that in order for you to be maktish something, it has to be beis. So it has to be your house. It has to belong to you. So to anything else, if you want it to be maktish and offered as a karban, it has to be bershuso. It has to be yours. So how is it possible for that she was able to offer this as a karban if it wasn't hers? The math does not add up. So Ella, so rather the Amr Lala Havagabach at Shaspi. It must be that the case is where this fellow, again, the case is Nasan Lavach Gagbala, so what's the case? The case is he gave it to her, and a few weeks later, he does the Maisabiyah with her, but he gave the payment for the services way in advance. But he said when he was giving it to her, he says, Lahavagabach, I want it to be by you at Shaspi. I want this to be by you until we actually have the ma'asabiyah together. But if you need it, then you can be kona it from now. So he left her a little bit of wiggle room, and so therefore that's the chiddush over here right now. Is that even though he basically told her, I don't want this to be nikna to you until the ma'asabiyah, so you would have thought, okay, good. So it's not a formal kinyan until the ma'asabiyah. But lamaisa, he revised his statement and he said, but if you need it, then be kona from now. So since he did that to her, it's considered to be a matnas chinam, and therefore, when she goes ahead and she's makrevit, it's a valid carbon. And we said that the esnan is mutter. And that's the point. And this is what Rav Yochanan was trying to draw upon from this story with the esnan, presumably, is that where Rav Yochanan, there's a little bit of a discussion about this case. So again, what happened here? Well, let's put it all together. Devei Rav Yanai borrows Paris Shvias from these inim. In other words, they're buying Paris Shvias on credit. They're going to pay for them a year later. This is not considered to be chalipin of Paris Shvias, which would result in the inim recklessly using that money that's imbued with Kedusha Shvias a year later. That would be very bad. So Rav Yochan says, that's not a problem. This is parallel to the case of Esnan. By Esnan, this would be fine. What's the parallel case by Esnan? So this is this price where a fellow receives the ma'asabiyah in advance, or he pays for services way in advance. Either way, it's not considered to be an exchange of goods that imbues the animal with iser. Okay, now, by Rav Oshi has the following chakira. You told me a second ago the case that we were discussing before from Rav Elazar, that Rav Elazar explained this bride to be discussing, where she was given payment for the services that she'd be providing in a few weeks. But in the meantime, she took the animal and brought it as a carbon. That's the case. So now Rav Oshi says, okay, but let's say she didn't bring it as a carbon. Let's say she was just makdish it. Is that valid? Kivin da amar mar. Amirasa l'gavo, kimisirasa l'edit. Since we know that we've said before that amira l'gavo, donating something, pledging something to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the same thing halachically as misira, as a bona fide action of giving. So command akrivasidami. So therefore, as far as we're concerned, once she is makdish the animal, that's tantamount to being makriv the animal. Odilmar, maybe you say hashtamiya hakai v'isa be'ene l'maisa. Right now, it's still be'en, and therefore, maybe it's a little bit different. So says the Gemara. Well, v'tifshal mid Rav Elazar. V'tifshal mid Rav Elazar. Why don't you address it based on Rav Elazar's point? Dam Rav Elazar shakan v'akrivasa. I thought you said before. Rav Elazar said it's specifically where she went ahead and she was makriv it. That she was given a payment in advance, and then she was makrivit before the ma'asabiyah occurred. Dafke krivaso, avot dishasalo. The implication of Elazar is that it's specifically where she was makrivit. But if she would have been makdishit, there'd be nothing to talk about in this case. So says the Gemara, no, Rabbi Eliezer, you can infer from Rabbi Eliezer, from Rabbi Eliezer's statement, Rabbi Eliezer gufei kami bailei. Rav Hoshia's question was specifically about, it was precisely about Rabbi Eliezer's statement. My mifsha pshita leiler of Elazar. He wanted to know, what is the given as far as Rav Elazar is concerned? What's the obvious point here? Dehikrivaso dafka, that is specifically hakrava. That's the case over here. That's where we say that if she was mak of the animal already, then the esnan is fine. It's mutter. It's not considered to be an esnan. Oh, aval hikti shasa lo. Or maybe you say, but if she was makdish it, then it wouldn't be okay. It would be a problem to ha'ise b'shasbiyah, because after all, it's around at the shasbiyah, and therefore it's considered to be a chalipin. Odoma hekrivaso pshitale. Or maybe hakrava is a davar pashta to him. And his question is, and the whole question that Rav Elazar had is with respect to Makdish. In other words, it's a davar pashta of Elazar that if she'd be makrivit, that would be okay. But Ikdishasu, he doesn't know. Teku. So we leave that as a teku. Okay. Let's do one more small piece. Ba'alev achach nasala esnan mutter. So we said before that if he did the ma'aseh with her first, and then afterwards he gives her payment for the services a while later, esnana mutter, the esnan that she receives is considered to be mutter. It has to be an exchange at the ma'aseh itself. So says, and that was from the brayso that we cited before. So for a minute, so says Gemara, wait a second, there's a steer over here. We know that in the brayso it says if he does a ma'aseh with her, and then afterwards he pays her for the services, giving her an esnan, afil makana shalosh shanim esnan aser. Even from now until 3 years, the esnan is aser. So if he gives it to her later. So lemaisa then, you see that it's aser even when he pays her for the services, even afterwards. But over here, in the brisa that we cited earlier, the esnan is not aser, it's mutter. So what's going on? There's a steer between the two brises. So Amar Nachmar Yitzchak, Amar Chizda, Lo Kash. There's no really no problem over here. Ha da Amar, and some add in La, his Bali Li Bitleze. One case is where he said, his balali bitleza, I want you to be boami for this, with this tle, for in exchange for this tle. Hada armala, his balali bitle stam. And one is where he said, please be his bal to me, I want to do a ma'asabiyah with you for a tle. He doesn't specify which tle. So when he specifies that it's for in exchange for this tle, that's where we're going to have a problem. She's konit now. If he just says betle stam, he doesn't say, I don't want to, he doesn't give her a specific tle. He just says, I want services, I want to pay you for your services for a tle, but it doesn't specify this particular tle. So then the esnan is going to be mutter if he gives it to her later. So says, wait a second. Viki amala betle ze, my havi. Well, if he said betle ze, what does it make a difference? Ha mechshem ashicha. Even if he does specify that it's I'm going to be using this tle as payment for you, who cares? There was no mashicha, and if there was no mashicha, then how does it become an esnan? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Bizona overes kochavim. You thought we were talking about a zona who is a Jewish girl, Rachman al-Atzlan? It's a zona overes kochavim we're talking about. She's a non-Jewish zona, and therefore the lo kani b'mashicha. She's not kona with mashicha. A guy cannot be kona with mashicha. And therefore, that's why. And that's why over here, the case over here, when he says tlezeh, that's going to be the case where it becomes an esnan. If I say, alternatively, la'olam bezona yisraelis. Really, it's a zona yisraelis. Aye. If it's a zona yisraelis, so then why is it that if it's tlezeh, then it makes a difference? So that she's konet now. Ukigon dekai b'chatzera. It's standing in her chatzer. And therefore, if it's standing in her chatzer, she's konet originally, and therefore the esnan is aser. So says the Gemara, wait a second. Idukai b'chatzer, if the case that we're talking about over here is that it's standing in her chatzer, ba'ala v'achkach nasala, in the case where he does a ma'aseh bi'ah, and then afterwards he gave it to her, the case that you told us we were dealing with was ba'ala v'achkach nasala. He did a ma'aseh bi'ah with her, and then afterwards he gave her the tleh. But according to what you're telling me right now, is that the tleh was already in her possession. If the tle was already in possession, hakanila, she was already konet. So what's going on over here? So says Gemara lo tzricha deshavya nihala apotiki, that he designated to her as an apotiki. An apotiki we've discussed in the past. Apotiki is when you designate something specific to be used to pay your debt. So in this case, he said, I want this to be that if as payment for your this debt, that I know that I'm going to owe you money, I'm putting this aside to be yours. The Amar La, now, the Amar La, he says to her, Im Aisina Lach Zuzi, if I can get hold of money to pay you for your services, Mikana Dion Ploni, from now, between now and a certain point, Mutav, so then great, I'll pay you cash. V'ilo Shak Lebes Nanach. But if not, if I don't manage to get hold of the money, so then I want you to use this as payment as your esnan. And that's the case over here. So again, let's put it together. The Gemara opens up that there's a steer between our Braisa and another Braisa. The Braisa over here says if he does a Maisa Bia and then later pays for the services, the Esan and his mother. In another Braisa, it says that if he does a Maisa Bia with her and then he pays for the services later, even much later, the Esan is Aser. So what's going on? Is the Esan Aser or Mutter when he pays her for the services later? So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says from Rav Chisda that no, there's a distinction between the two Braisas. In one Braisa, he's saying, here's this specific tle for your services. The other bride says, he just says stam. When he just says stam, I'm going to be paying you a tle for your services, so then that does not become an estan, that's going to be mutter. Over here, though, if he says tlezeh, that's going to be usher. So the Gemara says, I don't get it. If he says tlezeh, who really cares? Why does it become usher? She wasn't koneh. So the Gemara says, no. If she didn't do a ma'aseh mashicha, it's a zona avedas kochavim. Zona avedas kochavim is not kona with mashicha. Alternatively, it's a zona yisraelis, and it's where the animal is standing bechatzir. Now the problem is though that if it's a zona yisraelis and it's standing in her chatzir, so now the kasha is, wait a second. If he brings the tleh to her chatzir and drops it off, well then how are you telling me that the case is that he did a ma'aseh bi and then later paid for the services? That's not the case. You're telling me that he dropped off the esnan, the tleh, by her chatzar. So the Gemara says, no, it's because he designated it as an apotek. He said, if I manage to get hold of money, then that's going to be payment for your services. If not, then this is what you're going to use as payment. Okay.